Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, this is the Secret Mum Club. I'm Safina.
And I'm Emma.
And this podcast is a safe space for mums everywhere.
A safe space to share our secrets.
Because we all have secrets, don't we?
We do. And as we know, sharing is caring.
And you don't even have to tell us who you are.
You can keep that to yourself. You can be anonymous.
And those secrets can be serious or silly.
All secrets are welcome in the
Secret Mum Club. That was the second take because I actually bummed the microphone and switched myself to mute.
You mean Renly did?
Yeah, Renly did. Well, me and Renly together as a joint.
He's trying to get involved, bless him, already. How's your week been, so?
Just like it's Mama. We're doing tremendous. I feel like it's not going to be any surprise that we've gone from one episode to another episode, and we've actually recorded two episodes in one day. So we're carrying on our conversation. Yeah. But I feel like there wasn't enough in the Thursday's episode that we're giving you the rest today.
We've got too much to say. That episode was meant to be 20 minutes long. I'm pretty sure it's going to be about three hours.
It was about an hour and 20.
Yeah.
We've at least got another 3-4 hours here. So yeah. Buckle up.
Buckle up, bitches. What are you now? Are you week 4 of Renly?
We are week 4, yes. We are the 9th of March, aren't we? I think we did talk about that just back there. But
yeah, 9th of April.
You might be listening to two episodes in one day. So technically, what a treat for you this is. Because if you're just rolling from one to the next, it's not going to be... What?
Also, sorry if we're repeating ourselves, but not much is going on in our lives. We've just had babies.
We're both losing our minds. We don't know what day of the week it is. He was due on the 8th of April, which was yesterday. It's now the 9th of April today.
Yes.
And he was born on the 9th of March.
He's 1 month old. Do you know the number 9 is strong because Jojo is 9th of February as well.
Stop it.
Yeah.
And Emma also had some really exciting news that her best friend had her baby.
On Renly's due date. Another little girl for the crew.
Was that her original due date?
No. She was over. She was 41 weeks.
Wow. She did good. First, second, third?
Second.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's really cute because they've got a boy too as well, who's Joseph's little friend. And then we'll now have their little girl and Sadie the same age as well.
Oh my God, that is friggin' too... That is cuteness overload, isn't it?
I know. And then coming in hot later this month, my sister, we're waiting for her to drop now.
We are waiting for your sister to have her bambinos. We also don't know what she's having.
No, but I did guess. So obviously I was very off with my own baby. I thought I was having a boy, had a girl. Oh, excuse me.
She doesn't want you to be off. She wants you to know.
She's like, hey, I'm a girl. God damn it.
God damn it.
Guessed a girl for my friend. She had a girl. And I'm guessing a girl for my sister. So we will see how my gender radar is doing.
But shit for yourself.
Shit for myself. I was very convinced I was having a boy. And
I was going to say, what did you guess for me?
Well, I knew you were having a boy.
What?
So I thought boy. No, I think even before your gender reveal, though, I did think you were having a boy. Did you?
I thought it was a boy, but I had a sneaky suspicion that it may be a girl. Obviously, 50-50. But I went in the hopes that it would be a boy, but I had a feeling it may be a girl. Obviously, 50-50. But when we went in, before the sonogram even said, do you want to know what it is or do you want to know what you're having, I already seen a willy.
Oh. Do you know whenever they say, like, oh, look away now, I'm like, Don't worry about it, mate, because I can't tell a fucking thing anyway. I can never, ever see anything. Like, even when they're like, here's the heart, here's the kidneys, I'm like, cool, that could, you could literally be showing me anything. But you know, I told that story about the private scan that we had where they were like, yeah, oh, look away now because it's really obvious. I was like, obviously that means penis.
Obviously not, because
clearly not.
No. And I said, and Chris was like, oh, what made Emma think that it was a boy? And I was like, because of that scan that you told me about.
Yeah.
And Chris, even Chris went, oh, when they say that, it's definitely a willy. And I was like, I know, but it's not. She's got a foo-foo. Maybe her foo-foo was just swollen.
It was pretty swollen when it came out as well, to be fair. When they dropped the drapes in the cesarean, they were like, oh, we're all going to find out together. And they dropped the drapes. And I was like, so please tell me. They were like, it's a girl. We were like, oh, fantastic.
I can't see.
I can't tell.
I wonder if anybody else has had that. I want to say that Dotsie's wasn't swollen.
I think it's quite common, but you'll be pleased to report the labia are now of normal size.
Their swelling has gone down.
She's definitely a girl.
But then the little boy's balls come out swollen, don't they?
Yeah.
And then they have a little willy, don't they? And then the balls are huge.
Joseph's really were. Yeah, my mum was obsessed with that. Like, when she saw pictures of him first born, she was like, what's wrong with his ball sack? It's massive.
Yeah, but your mum's not seen a ball sack, has she?
No.
So now she's just got grandsons because Emma's got sisters.
Yeah.
And there's been no boys, yet the two girls have gone on to have two boys.
Yeah, yeah.
So for you, for your mum, it was probably like, what the fuck?
Yeah, she was like, what is that? Again, pleased to report the balls are now a very normal size.
It's all very normal. To be fair, they come out. It's such a, whether you push them out or they get taken out, they come out with such force.
Yeah.
And it's so traumatic. There's no wonder. Plus, you take them out of water as well, don't you? So they must just balloon up like a puffer fish. Like,
that's the thing, they've had a lot of, I think that's why my bump was so big. I think I had quite a lot of fluid in there, because she wasn't a particularly big baby, but just a lot of amniotic fluid, I think. So she'd taken a lot of that on and was quite swollen when she first came out. And then when she shrunk back down to size, I was suddenly like, oh, there's my 7 pounds 6 baby. She's teeny tiny.
She's diddy. That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
She literally was teeny tiny.
I know.
It's weird. I went out the other day in town and the lady was like, oh, is that your baby? Is that your daughter's Dolly? No, this is a real baby. She was like, oh. And I was like, no, this is a real baby. And she was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I thought it was a reborn.
No. That's because he's picture perfect looking.
No, he just was literally compact. He is so tiny. We still haven't lost the newborn scrunch yet. Like, he loves the scrunch.
Yeah, I love that.
Like, he's not really a straight baby at the moment. But things are going great. Like, because we haven't really, me and Emma haven't spoken because I was in hospital a lot with the lead up to the baby coming, Renly. He's basically just the baby. I would like to alliterate on this. I know I call my children the babies, but Renly is like the baby, like the Mac Daddy of all babies.
Yeah.
And my whole family just call him the baby.
He is the baby.
Like Neil, baby from Gavin and Stacey. He's just Neil, the baby.
Well, Joseph only says baby for Sadie because she didn't have a name for like a week. And so now he just thinks her name is baby. So I don't know how we're going to get that through to him, but...
Oh, please just let him call a baby forever.
I know, it's quite cute.
No one puts baby in the corner.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's just become the baby. But I did try the boob.
Yeah, I saw that. So I saw that you were expressing, but did you try, you tried breastfeeding as well?
Okay, I tried the boob when I was in the neonatal unit with all of these doctors and midwives and nurses all around me. And we tried it. He latched on first time. Great. And then I found it to be not stressful, but I just found in myself that he had a lot of wires connected to him, lots of tubes everywhere. And I just was like, you know what? I can't do it. I physically can't. There's a whole lot of him and everything going on and I'm just not prepared to do it. So I was like, do you know what? Let's try expressing so we can give him all the best of the booby milk. So expressing, got a little bit obsessed with expressing. I got a little bit obsessed with expressing.
That's hard to say.
The milk. That's really hard to say. And I think in hospital as well, I had like a little routine going where I was expressing my milk and I was able to put it in the fridge and date it, then feed him and express some more. And it was lovely. And then came home and I was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I was...
It's a lot of upkeep expressing, because it's like two jobs, isn't it? Rather than like just giving them the boob or just giving them the bottle.
Yeah.
It's like you've got and to express everything and then feed them as well. It's like doubly as long.
And then because people were saying don't overexpress, so express on demand, so express like 20 minutes before his feed. So I was having to wake up to put my pumps on to express for 20 minutes to then feed. And he was feeding for about 40 minutes. And I was just like, this is just too much. Because then I didn't want to have an oversupply where I was just expressing for the sake of expressing and putting it in the fridge.
Yeah.
Because then I was like, right, okay, then I'm over. So then I was expressing and I'd have like a couple of feeds already in the fridge. So all I was doing is taking one out and replacing it with another one. So I'd always have his bottle on demand kind of thing. And it was just too much. It was too much. My boobs were fucking killing. I was doing the school run with the other two and my boobs were literally burning.
Yeah, well, because they were so full.
Yeah, because they were so full. And I just said to Chris, I can't do it. I can't get myself into a good routine. I'm uncomfortable. I can't wear the pumps while I was out, because I went out for a walk and took Renly around the road in the pram. And I was like... People were looking at me on the street and I was like, sorry, I'm just expressing my boobs. And I really tried and gave it everything of every bit of me. And I take my hat off to, honestly, and I said this on my Instagram, I take my hat off to anybody that exclusively breastfeeds, whether you do both, whether you exclusively express, however you do with your boobies, I'm in utter awe of you, because I don't know how you do it.
I have to say, I'm very jealous of the gaps you're getting between feeds now, like four, 5, 6 hours. Like, you can just be so much more on that when you've got a bottle-fed baby.
We are, yeah, week 7, and we are currently midnight till 7:30.
Oh, shut the front door. What I would
say. Everyone's like, oh, you're looking so well. You're doing so great. And I'm like, yeah, because... And it's horrible, isn't it? And I don't want to say it is the formula baby when the baby's on the formula milk. Not every baby's the same, but again, Colby wasn't. Colby was, I was every 2 hours with Colby because he was little and often. Dottie, she slept really early on. Dots, she really loved her sleep. Renly, we've had only, there's been the last sort of 3 nights, he's done midnight till 7.
That's amazing. And what was it like? Was it all right getting your milk to dry up, or was that really painful?
I think by day 3 of strapping them up, I was back to normal. But I'm still massively in recovery, you know. I was going to talk to you about this, is because me and you both had a different pregnancy journey, as well as a different labour journey. You were an elected cesarean, to be honest. That's where I was going for an elected cesarean. It didn't happen that way. And that was purely because, as I did say in the other episode, Thursday's episode, that was purely because I'd had 2 natural births. I do suffer with PTSD. If you're new here, you may or may not know. I had an accident when I was younger, and I just suffer with some trauma from that. So I was kind of like, do you know what? I'm not going to put myself mentally through that again. Inserting Dottie. You're wearing a summer outfit. She just went, don't worry, I was never here.
She was very subtle, to be fair.
She was subtle. But my waters broke, which changed the game slightly.
And that was so early. You were only like 36 weeks, weren't you?
I was exactly 35. Well, Monday, it was a new week for us every Monday, wasn't it? So Monday, I turned 35 weeks on the Monday. Waters went Tuesday at 1:20 in the morning.
Shit.
I know. Not going to lie to you, it was a very weird, harrowing experience. So I woke up absolutely drenched through. Like, no word. You could wring it out. I was drenched through. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I was peeing like a gnat. Like, I was filling myself up with all this water. And when I did actually need to go for a wee, only the smallest amount would come out because there was so much pressure with him on my bladder that nothing ever came out. So I was like, surely I've not pissed myself because I can't pass this much urine. So I sort of was in my own little world. I went to the bathroom, changed my pyjamas, put them in the bath, and then was like, oh, I'll do the sniff test. So I sniffed them. They didn't smell like wee smells like wee, doesn't it? So I was like, they don't smell like wee. So I woke Chris up and I was like, I don't know whether I've pissed myself or my waters have broken. Chris was like, what? And I was like, can you sniff my pyjamas? And he was like, yeah, sure. So I got the pyjamas and got him to sniff them. And he was like, it doesn't smell like wee. But then I don't know, like, what is your wee smelling like at the moment? Is it different because you're pregnant? I was like, I think wee is just wee. So we had a little bit of a urine debate for about 8 minutes as to whether or not my wee still smells the same, which we were Googling, does your wee still smell the same pregnant? Like, the Google searches, I screenshotted them to keep them all for ever looking back and thinking I'd lost my mind. So we left it a couple of hours and then it got to about 3:30. So about 2 hours, and I phoned my dad and I was like, Dad, I'm having some contractions and I think my waters might have broken. My dad was like, oh, the fuck, I'll be there.
You're good, like, okay, dad.
I know. So we sat here, had a chat with my dad, had a cup of tea with my dad. And then it got to about 5:30 and the children wake up because I didn't want the children to wake up and panic and be like, where's mum gone? Granddad, why are you here? So I was like, oh, well, let's see if the children wake up because I'm okay. So it got to about 5:30. I rang the hospital. They said to come in. The children had woken up. So I was like, right, mummy's going into hospital because I just need to have a few things checked. So I got into hospital. I think it was about, in the end, it was about 6 o'clock, 6:20 in the morning. Went into the day unit, had all my checks done. And they were like, right, okay, we think your waters have gone, but we're not too sure. She's happy about the story. But because they had concerns with the waters going, obviously there was concern for infection.
Yeah.
So they were like, we'll admit you up to the ward and then we'll assess you again tomorrow. So I was like, right, okay, then that's absolutely fine. So we did that. But my contractions in this time were full force. So some days they were full on, some days they were nothing. I'd have an hour of full contractions, then 5 hours of nothing. Then I'd have 5 hours of contractions, then 20 minutes of nothing. And it was all very up and down for like the 5 days. And nobody knew really what was going on or what to do. And we got to the Friday and they were like, do you know what? Enough's enough. We're going to take you down. And I was like, oh, great. I get to have a cesarean. They were like, no. He's 35+5 and we need to let his lungs work harder, and they work harder by having a natural
birth. Why they didn't want you to have a cesarean. It's too early.
Because he's too early and he's so little. They basically want him to work for it. So they want them to work based on your body pushing them out. So all this time I'd been checked and I was having contractions, but my body just wasn't naturally dilating. My body wasn't doing what it should do to dilate naturally, in the sense of like moving my cervix down, opening it up fully, dilating, softening, whatever it needed to do. My body just wasn't doing it naturally. So we went.
Bless you.
Sneezes are so dangerous in this current situation.
How's your bladder?
My bladder. Not great. So I had to be induced again, like I was with the other two, which is a little bit sad. I was a little bit like, I didn't want to do this again. I kind of wanted to let my body just either one, do it naturally, or two, just going for a cesarean kind of thing.
What was that? Was that a drip or pessary?
The other two were drips. The hormone drips, we went straight in with the hormone drip with the other two. But this one, we went in with the gel.
Oh, yeah.
The gel was wild. The doctor was basically like, we're going to try the gel, even though we don't think it's going to work. We need to at least try it because he is still classed as a preemie. We need to at least try it and do the steps. Whereas the other two, even though Colby and Dottie came a week early, they were over 37 weeks.
Yeah.
So they were kind of like, well, they weren't preemies, whereas Renly was a preemie. So they were like, we'll try the gel and we'll assess you in 6 hours. So it got to about 9:30, had the gel, and my sister was like, right, let's go for a walk around the hospital. So we were walking around the hospital in the dead of night. It was a very, very eerie experience. It was weird. But basically walked around, and it got to midnight, and I said, I think I need to have a check because I had severe diarrhea, and I thought, I'm either going to continue to have diarrhea and shit out all my organs, or we're going to have a baby. So Stephanie was like, bless you, let's give you a check. So she was like, we'll check you now. You're 2 hours in. We'll see how you're doing. Bear in mind, this was 2 of the 6 hours. So I was like, please, body, I've done something. She was like, you'll be pleased to know we're 6 centimetres dilated 2 hours in. I was like, this is tremendous. And I was actually all right. I was doing okay. Didn't feel like I needed any drugs. And I said to her, I don't want to peak too soon with the drugs, Stephanie. So I think we're just going to see how far we can get. And then when it gets too much, then I'm in with the drugs. And I was playing games with my sister. I was walking around the hospital still. So I felt like I wasn't really in need of the drugs.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Because I was fully coherent, like I was fully walking around and I was doing shit, you know. And it felt great that I had the gel and I wasn't, because with the other two I had to stick to the drip. I had to stay chained to the bed.
Yeah.
Got till about, must have been about 2:30, and things got wild in the aisles. And I just said, you know what, this is getting a lot. And they were elevating and dropping, but they weren't stopping to give me a break. They were just, they were going high, dropping down. Just when I thought it was going to stop, oh, we're going back up again. And then down, and I was like, oh, it's going to stop. So I basically got to the point where I was just having no breaks from them. Oh. And that was for about half an hour. And got to 3 o'clock. And I said to Stephanie, I was like, Stephanie, I'm going to need some gas and air. I need some gas and air. I need to do something and we need a check. So she gave me the gas and air, did the internal. And then she was like, we're fully dilated. The cervix is soft. It's down. Like we're ready. Like we can start preparing. So I was like, cool. Get me the drugs because I don't want to feel shit. She was setting up all the instruments, getting all her paper out and so forth. And I said, 3:15, Stephanie, this baby is coming. She was like, no, no, it's not. And I was like, I'm either going to take a poo or this baby's coming. She's like, no, no, the baby's not coming. And that was it. 15 minutes later, from start to finish, top to bottom, baby was out on the bed. Stephanie turned around and she was like, right, we need to stop pushing. So she was holding his head in because his head had obviously come out. She was holding his head in because he had his hands like this across his eyes. And then as he come out, he did this with one arm.
Oh.
So this arm gave me a 2-degree tear.
Oof.
And this, where he had his fists on here and he hit my pelvic bone so hard because he went so fast. We basically, you know, as you're in labour and you can do the contracty bits, which basically makes the head come down so that you get to the bottom and then you push. We just went
straight through.
We had no pushing, contracting down. He just full on straight through. And yeah, hands across his face. And he was out and he was on the bed. Got the photo the first moment he was on the bed. Then came the most traumatic experience of my whole entire life, is that he just never cried.
Aww.
Never cried. But he was there and there was lots of people there. There was the response team came really, really quickly. They brought the bed in. And it all happened so, so fast. And everybody was so... All I just remember is... So many people were talking to me, like loads of people were talking to me. And every person I looked at was basically like, he is okay. Like, we're going to be okay. Like, he is okay. But it was like the loudest silence I've ever heard in my whole entire life. Wow. It's like the moment you put them into school and you sit in the house for the first time and everything's deadly quiet. And you're like, this is so fucking loud. Like, I need to get out of here.
What did they do? Did they take him away or like, did they start like rubbing him down with a towel?
Yeah. So did like the rub and then they put him onto a heat bed straight away, gave him a mask. And then they basically do 45 minutes of giving him oxygen to allow him to cry himself, to basically work all the mucus and stuff out of him. He did 45 minutes on the bed. We had then had another bed come in because that one had, we'd been on it so long. So then they did another 20 minutes on the bed and they still couldn't get anything from him. Like, he was awake, he was alert, he was making noises, but they just couldn't get that big cry out of him. He was very, very blue. Like, I feel like this episode needs to come with a trigger warning, like, so badly. But he was, yeah, really, really blue. But I could see, like, he had his eyes open and stuff like that. And then after an hour, they were like, look, this is an hour, we need to take him to neonatal. So then in came what can only be described as like a rocket ship, like this huge bed with these huge tanks came into the room and they'd wrapped him up. He had a tube up his nose. He had wires around his head. He had a mask on his eyes and they kind of just handed him to me. And I think I'd been, not that I'd been okay. I was crying the whole time. Like, I wasn't okay. I looked at my sister. My sister was like, Sophie, like, he's okay. And so all she kept saying to me was, Sophie's okay. And then Chris was like, he's doing great. Like, he's beautiful. Like, he's wonderful. And then it wasn't until that moment when they put the bed come in and they handed him to me so fast. Chris then started crying. My sister then burst into tears. Oh. And they were like, we need to take him. Like, we've got to take him now. And I was just like, right, okay. So I handed my baby over. To which, at this point, they then put my bed to the top of the room. Stephanie was sewing me back up and doing all that she needed to do. And I just watched him go out of the room, Chris go out of the room, Roxanne go out of the room. All of these doctors went out of the room, just all in single file, following this massive, huge bed. And then it was just me and Stephanie in this room. And I just remember, like, I've just given birth to my baby and everything has just been taken from me.
Yeah.
Like, everything. There was nothing in the room. My baby wasn't in the room. Chris wasn't in the room. Like, there was nothing in the room. Like, it was the most scariest, surreal feeling. Like, what the fuck has just happened to me? And I just was sat on this bed like, this can't, like, and I was like, this is a dream. Like, I was literally sat on the ward this morning. Like, I just couldn't fathom. Even now, I just can't fathom it in my head. And then that was it. She was like, right, let's get you some tea and toast. Best tea and toast you'll ever eat in your life is the cold, stale white bread toast that you'll have after giving birth. So I had my had a shower, had my tea and toast. And she was like, are you ready to go and see him? Again, it wasn't, my sister would come back to shower me and help me. And then she was sat there and she was like, right, are you ready to go? And I was like, sort of took the toast out of my mouth. And I was like, yeah, I'm ready to go. And I felt like I was walking really fast. And I felt like everybody was like, slow down, you need to slow down walking. And then Roxanne's got footage of me and I'm literally like,
shuffling.
Like a man on the moon. It was the slowest walk ever. And I walked into neonatal and instantly I feel like you just have your whole life just humbled before you, because it is possibly one of the hardest things that I will ever in my whole entire life. I don't think I'll ever take that feeling away from the moment you walk through them doors and there's just doctors everywhere, there's machines everywhere, there's wires everywhere. It's really quiet, but it's busy, and it's just so insanely hot because you've got all the machines and everything going and they're trying to keep all the babies warm. And I just remember walking over and everyone was talking to me and I just didn't really listen. And I just walked over to the incubator. You just don't know in that moment if everything's going to be okay. You just don't know. And I kind of just looked at him and I was just like, that's just not my baby. Like, he was so swollen and so purple and he had wires everywhere and he had this big thing on his face. And I was just like, and I couldn't just grasp it in my head. And I was just like, that's just not my baby. Like, I've seen my baby and that's not what my baby looks like. Because obviously I'd seen him come out. And I was like, oh, I know what my baby looks like and that's not my baby. And I just remember standing there and I felt like I'd been there hours and hours. And I just said to Chris, I'm going to pass out. Like, I'm so hot. So I just remember coming out of the room. And Chris was like, are you okay? And everything was just like, it was just not like real, like nothing was real. And then that's it. You just go up to the ward and you just sit on the ward all by yourself.
You can't pick them up or you couldn't touch them.
You can't hold them. You can't touch them. Like, they were incredible. Like, they tell you, they have a WhatsApp service. They send you pictures. They send you updates. They text you everything before anything gets done to him. If everything's an emergency, obviously they do things as an emergency to make sure that baby is safe. But they're like 24 hours a day. Come down, see him. It doesn't matter how much you come down. Come down whenever you want. So I literally went up to the ward and kind of was, I just like was taking pictures and I was talking away to my phone, like recording myself so that I would remember it. Because I feel like I was like, I can't even contemplate what's happening in my head. Like, I couldn't fathom it. And like, Chris had gone home, my sister had gone home, and you're just sat there on your bed and you're just like, where's my baby? I've just given birth. My belly feels like jelly. You can't feel the heartbeat. You can't feel them moving and you're just led on this bed. And I truly take my hat off to people that have been through the most scariest of experiences or had their baby preterm and have gone through this. Honestly, I had so much respect for you before, but the respect I have for mums now who have gone through this, been through this, are going through this, I have the utmost respect for you, because I just, it's the most loneliest experience, yet you're not alone. Like, there's so many people around you, there's so many people with you, there's so many people talking to you, there's so many people checking on you, but you just feel the loneliest you've ever felt in your whole entire life. And I was just like, I don't, and I went up to the ward and you feel bad that first moment that you need you want to go down there. Like, I walked up to the ward, I said goodbye to Chris, I said goodbye to my sister, and it was like 7:30 in the morning, and I'd had a shower, I got myself ready, and I was like, oh, can I go down? It's like, I felt like I was asking permission. I was like, oh, can I, do you think I'd be okay to go down and see him now? And they were like, you don't need to ask, you come and go as you please, like, this is, it's your place to just do whatever is right for you. And then I went down, and like the moment I went down, it was a better experience, like the next time I went down there. And the nurse was there, the doctors were there. And I, the first doctor that I saw, she was, because obviously they have a changeover of staff, so it wasn't the same one when they went down. And I had two ladies, Alyssa and Rebecca, doctors that were looking after Renly. And truly, if I didn't have them, I truly don't think I would have mentally myself had been able to get through it. Like, they just instantly just became my friend. Instantly just talk to me like I'd known them my whole entire life, and I needed that. Like, I needed that as a, in my mental state. And I just sat down and they talked me through everything that he'd done, and I could touch him and I could hold his hand, and they let me change his nappy. And you just, you go in there and it's like a parallel experience. You go in and you're like, it's like a time warp. You go in and you think, oh, I've only been in there 20 minutes. Like, I could have spent more time with him. And then you go up to the ward, check your phone, and you've been gone like 9 hours. And you're like, oh shit, I've been in there like all day. I was really lucky that I was in there at Mother's Day, because on Mother's Day, they gave us all these little hampers with like Body Shop products in them, gave us a voucher. They'd done like a footprint for him. We'd had family photos. Like, they had a photographer in there who took our first ever like family photo. Oh, and it just, honestly, I couldn't have had a better experience of being in there. He moved through neonatal in 3 days. So we went in on the, had him on the Saturday, and by the Wednesday we were back up on the ward. And then I had him up on the ward. We couldn't come out because he was so severely bruised and had so much trauma to his face that we had to stay in, because he was having blood tests and checks and making sure that he was doing okay. But we did have bilirubin. I keep saying bilirubin. What? It's not, it's like bilirubin.
Some type of jaundice.
Yeah, so it's basically like a type of jaundice. So we had to wait. And where there was so much trauma to his head, there were so many red blood cells for his body to break down. He just couldn't pass the little tests, the little heel prick tests that he had to go through. He couldn't pass them. Wow. So we were in there for a few days. But now being home, looking back, it went so fast. But when you're in it and you're living in that moment, it was so incredibly slow. The days were long. The nights were lonely. Like, when I had to go upstairs and I had to express and I needed to sleep, I had to sleep. There was nothing I could do. I could sit there. I sat there for hours and hours and hours, and they'd be like, you need to go and sleep. You need to go and have something to eat, because if you don't eat, you can't express and you won't get your milk. And if you're exhausted and you're tired. But yeah, so not the experience that I expected to have gone through. But then I'm quite the person that I didn't put any expectations on what was going to happen. That's just a far, far stretch from anything that I ever imagined. And I always think, as a person, I'm the type of person that always thinks it's not going to happen to me.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen to me. Why would it happen to me? Like, what makes me different to anybody else? Absolutely fucking nothing. So it was a little bit of a shock, the whole experience, but I'm just so incredibly grateful for our NHS.
Oh, just the best. And look at him now, he's doing so well.
He's doing, apart from he's so severely constipated. Constipated.
Yeah, apart from that.
He is doing great. Gosh, I'm so sorry I got sad. I haven't spoken about it. I think the only person I spoke about it with is the photographer when she came the other day, and I was just like, just blurted it all out. And I haven't actually, even like Chris, I don't think I've sat down and spoke to Chris about it. I didn't even speak to my mum about it.
Do you know what, as well, when you have a birth that doesn't go according to plan, like my first one with Joseph ended up in an emergency cesarean, which was obviously not what we planned. And no. I remember the health visitor saying to me afterwards, and saying to Stefan when she came to visit the house, like, it's very normal to want to talk about the experience a lot and try and like go over all the details and everything and try and process it. And I remember I was asking Stefan loads of questions last time with Joseph. I was like, and then what time did we do that? And then when did we go down to the ward? And then, well, how much time was it between that and that? And then like when we went in for the C-section, like who was this person? Because when you're in it, you just can't process everything that's happening. And then you want to talk about it for ages afterwards and like try and understand what's happened. And I think that's kind of similar to where you're at kind of now. You just want to like just keep going
I think I've gone the opposite way. I think I don't want to talk about it. Like I don't want to talk about it because I just don't want to. Not that I don't want to remember it. I kind of don't.
Is it too upsetting?
I just don't want to relive it. Yeah, I just don't want to relive it. Like, it's really hard to talk about because my case is really rare.
Yeah.
It's not a normal case to go through. And it is hard. And I found, like, talking about it to Chris and saying that, you know, potentially we'll talk about it on here and I'll talk about it with you is also, I don't want to scaremonger anybody.
Yeah.
Like my experience is completely different to your experience. We've had a baby now 2.5 weeks apart and your experience to my experience is two very different things. And it's really hard when you're talking about labour and childbirth and things like that, that no two childbirths are the same.
Well, I couldn't believe it. Like when you had announced that you'd had the baby and I was like, she was meant to be 2 weeks after me and your baby was like 2 weeks old by the time my baby came. It was nuts. No. It's nuts what you've been through.
And it was just so weird, like, to sit. And I said to Chris, like, it's weird to sit here now and be like, we're going back to the podcast, but I technically should have, like, you technically should have the oldest baby. Not I should have the newest baby, you know? So, like, it's weird things. Like, Easter, he obviously wasn't meant to be here and we had to change plans for him to be here. And my niece's birthday, he wasn't meant to be here, but he was here. And my mum's birthday now, he wasn't meant to be here. And I feel like I've been constantly chasing my ass.
Yeah. I mean, for like the last... you were saying, like, as of now, you could have still been pregnant. And like, but he's been here for a month. It's crazy.
Could still literally be here now because I could have been overdue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wild what you've been through.
It's been a bit of a scary one, but we are doing okay. He's doing incredible.
And he's so cute.
I think we all say that though about
No, he really is. He really is cute. I'm not just saying that. Because if he was ugly, I would tell you.
He's lovely. We've spoken about that before, though, haven't we?
We did, because somebody wrote into the podcast about it. No, honestly.
So should I feel bad that I felt my baby was ugly? But the thing is I also do think the three children, looking at the baby pictures of them, I thought they were so cute. And then in a year's time, when it was their first year birthday, you're like, what the fuck? They were so ugly.
I know. I did think that about Joseph. I've had a few messages, people saying, like, I'm not just saying it, but Sadie is cute. And I'm like,
she's beautiful.
Is she, or am I going to look back and be like, nah?
No, although I don't see Joseph in her.
I don't know. And I kind of... They look like some of the faces she pulls. I'm like, ah, oh, yeah, I recognize that face from him. But I don't think they look like, none of our children look like me or Stefan. I don't know whose children they are.
Yeah, Joseph, I would say, is more than Stefan.
He is now, he's come into his own face a little bit more.
Face. But he's grown into his face.
The newborns, who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? No, and so many people say that they see so much of Dottie and Renly. Like, everyone's like, you have literally birthed Dottie's twin. But then I also, there'll be another picture of him that people are like, oh my God, he's a spit of Colby. And I'm like, I feel like he's a mix of the two.
Yeah, I don't know. In your 4D scan picture, I was like, oh my God, they all look so alike. But actually now that he's born, I don't see it as much.
No. When he smiles, he's definitely Colby's smile with Dottie's dimples. But yeah, no, he's got Dottie's little hairline. She's got like a little cowlick and he's got her little cowlick.
I wonder if he's going to have like blonde curly hair like they have.
I said, imagine, we were literally talking about this yesterday, imagine it's straight dark hair.
Because he looks like he's got dark hair at the moment.
Colby, his hair's exactly the same as Colby's, the exact same colour as Colby's was when Colby was born. Dottie was born bald, she had no hair, but Colby was born with this black, just this little black tuft at the back and then it really faint on the top.
It's so interesting to see how they turn out, isn't it? Like Sadie and Joseph both born with quite dark hair and then... Joseph went really blonde. I think she's probably going to go quite fair as well. Yeah, you never know.
It's exciting though, because I'm excited that we'll be watching our babies grow now.
I know, together.
Together. I know. Oh. But my question to you, because enough of me and my trauma, the question I'm dying to ask you.
Go on.
Is how the fuck is Joseph with the baby?
I mean, it's been a journey. He didn't really acknowledge that
understand.
I was pregnant. Yeah, he didn't understand. Yep. I don't think he got it. It's quite a hard concept for a two-year-old to be like, that bump in your tummy is going to come out and be a baby.
Yes.
So we were quite apprehensive about bringing her home. We got the cutest little video. He was amazing. Like, we came through the door with her in the car seat and he was like, oh, I thought he would just be like, not interested.
Just run off.
Yeah, just run off. Normally he doesn't want something. He says, I thought he was going to say, I don't want it, baby. But he didn't say that. He went up to her and was like holding her hand and he was saying like, oh, baby. And, you know, he's obsessed with her. He'll be like, tiny fingers. Or he just points out her, like pokes her in the eye and he's like, little eyes, which is so cute. So he,
little nostril.
Yeah, little nostril. Oh, mouth. Yeah, we have to be like lots of gentle hands, gentle. But no, he's been really, really sweet with her. He is taking out on me and Stefan slightly. That he's pissed off that things have changed and he's not the only child around here anymore. So
we fucked with the flow.
Yeah, we've really fucked with his flow, massively messed things up. So I don't think
so. Now itchy legs will never be the same ever again.
I don't think they'll be
ruined Joseph's life.
I don't think there'll be any more babies crossing this threshold.
She'll still be having itchy legs in the kitchen. Just saying.
No more babies, honestly. With two, it's only been like 2 weeks, but it is carnage. It's hard with two. It's hard managing a toddler's emotions because he's not like being directly pissed off about the baby, but it's like manifesting itself in other ways. Yeah, like he's definitely more tantrums. He's having some big emotions. He's kicking off in other ways to let me and Stefan know I'm all right with this baby, but I'm not really happy about it. Okay?
I'm okay with the baby, but you two.
Yeah.
You're going to fucking pay for this shit.
Exactly. Especially me. Because when I can't do stuff with him, oh God.
Bitch.
He is not happy with me, let me tell you. And because of the cesarean, there was a lot I couldn't do with him for a while. And he was just pissed about that. Like, he didn't understand, like, mummy can't really play with you anymore. Mummy can't pick you up anymore.
You fucked with him.
Fucked with the system. And he was not happy about that.
Not pleased.
No, he's not pleased. But we just keep saying, look, he's 2 years old. He's probably not going to remember this bit where it was difficult. And then he's going to hopefully love us for giving him the best gift you can give, which is a sibling.
It is. It is, honestly. It's hard, isn't it? Because you can't be prepared for it. I feel like you're never prepared. And I talked about this on my Instagram. Like, there is never a time, doesn't matter all the preparation in all the world, you're never prepared for a newborn baby.
No.
Whether it's your first, your 10th, your 50th child, you're never prepared for that newborn baby. You're never prepared. You think you've got your shit together and there's just no preparation for it. And I think we can try and try and try. And I think there'll be something that just throws the spanner in the works.
Yeah.
And you just don't know. And that was the game that you were playing with Joseph, is truly, you could have been prepared for it and given him all the stuff in all the world, spoken to him about it, but still, you just got to wait for the moment.
Yeah, we did all the stuff. We spoke about it. We gave him presents from the baby. We've had visitors make a big fuss of him. You don't know how his emotions are going to be day to day. Stefan's still off work at the moment, but the moment I'm left on my own with the two of them, I'm bloody terrified.
Don't be so silly. You're going to smash it. You'll be absolutely great. I feel like it's just a band-aid. You just whip it off really quickly. You won't even know it's happening.
And you know what? I tell myself, like, after having Joseph as well, I know that all these moments and these phases pass so quickly. And before you know it, they'll be on to the next thing. It's just a small moment in time and then everything's going to be fine.
It's just
fine.
A snippet.
Yeah, that's what I keep telling myself.
Everything's going to be perfect. And you just got to find your new normal and that's all. And that's a daunting thing is like the new normal. Like at the moment we had one the other day where I was really, really nervous. No, that was it. We took Renly for a walk. So I took the children to the park, but they wanted to take their roller skates. So we took a walk to the park, took the roller skates, and I was really stressed because not only had I walked half an hour from their house with the children, the two other children, to then get to the park, put their roller skates on, let them skate round. Then they wanted an ice cream. Then they wanted to play at the park. But still, I had another 30 minutes still to walk back home. And I was like, what if I miss his feed? What if he screams the whole way back? And I was just panicking. I just said to Chris, I'm so fucking anxious. And he was like, why? He literally sleeps all day. And I'm like, I don't know. Because it's like the new... It's like the next thing. It's like the new thing that you have to face. And because we did it so much with Colby, I just automatically revert back to that. And I'm like, he's going to scream the whole way home. Then I'm going to cry and I'm going to have a meltdown and there's going to be a screaming baby and people are going to look at me. And and in fact, everything was just okay.
Yeah, we've done so much with her. I'm like, oh, newborns are actually really easy. Like, we can go out and have lunch and she'll sleep in her pram for 2 hours. I forget. You know, I'm used to sitting in a pub with a toddler who's like chaos and you've got to run around after them.
Yeah.
No, she's easy peasy. It's just the two of them together that's a nightmare.
Have you found the transition from one to none to one or one to two harder? Could you say yeah?
One to two is hard. It is like, it's pretty chaotic at the moment. But in myself, I found zero to one harder because that's a total harder. Life change going from having no kids to having a kid.
One.
Yeah. Whereas like now, I feel like she has slotted in so much easier. Perfect. Like, I didn't struggle as much with the adjustment, like coming home from hospital and getting used to life with a newborn, because I just know it more. And I think, like I say, me and Stefan are more relaxed and she's just slotting into life, you know. I feel like this has been, so far with her, quite easy. But time will tell.
Time will tell. And we're taking you on the journey with our tiny humans.
Buckle up.
So I feel like there's been a lot from us today, hasn't there?
Yeah.
So this episode's not going to quite be the same as our regular episodes because we just have so much to talk about, don't we?
Yeah, and we're not done yet.
We're not done. But I think the best way to roll on the rest of the episode is to roll in with some secrets.
Yeah, some of your secrets.
Because you've heard enough of...
Enough about us.
Enough about us. We want to hear a bit of you.
Yeah.
We're going to roll into them after this ad break.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Summer's just around the corner, so give your body the care it deserves with Osea's best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil. Created by infusing Andaria seaweed in barrels of botanical oils, it leaves skin silky soft and glowing. Plus, it's clinically proven to improve elasticity and deeply moisturize without feeling greasy. It's safe, clean, vegan skincare. Get 10% off your first order at OseaMalibu.com with code GLOW, plus free shipping on orders over $60.
This is the Secret Mum Club, the safe space for you to share your secrets. And we've got two from you that we're going to be discussing this week. So Emma, hit us with number one.
Oh, I'm excited. All right, this one says...
I'm excited!
Hello, ladies. When my son was about 3 years old, we were on holiday in Spain. We'd been at the beach all day and were getting ready to have a shower together. We were both stark naked and all of a sudden, my son lets out a very concerned gasp and says to me, "Oh no, Mummy, what happened?" I'm standing there looking around thinking to myself... I don't know. What has happened? I couldn't conclude by myself what he was concerned about, so I responded to him, "I don't know, darling, what has happened?" He then keeps repeating, "Are you okay, Mummy? Do you need the doctor?" I'm now very confused as I feel perfectly fine. So I tell him, "Yes, darling, I'm fine. Why do you think I need a doctor?" He then says to me, because your willy's gone. He then proceeds to crouch down and look up to my area to try to investigate where my willy had gone. He did a full 360 around me. And even tried to spread my arse cheeks to find the missing willy. I swiftly stopped this investigation, explained to him I was okay, got us in the shower, where I then had to have the conversation about girls and boys whilst containing my laughter. He's now 11, and I'm sure he'd be mortified to know I'm sharing this little secret. Much love, M.
That is so... Oh, my God. Oh, bless his heart.
To be fair, how do they know it's supposed to be anything different?
I don't know. I feel like the first conversation is a difficult one, isn't it?
Yeah, like how but did I you think, explain that to Colby and Dottie, or did you even have to?
I don't think I ever explained it. I think maybe Colby's asked me once, where is my willy? And I've said to him, mummies don't have willies, only daddies have willies. But yeah, I don't know. It's such a hard one. And I think maybe Sadie does not like the willy chat.
She's got a lot to say about it.
You all thought I had a willy, but I don't. I'm a girl.
Surprise, I'm a girl, bitches. Yes, Joseph has started pointing out Stefan's willy. If he goes to the toilet in front of him. But with me, he's not confused why I don't have one. He just doesn't say anything.
What does he say to Stefan?
Just goes, willy. And Stefan's like, yep.
Does Stefan do sit-down wheeze or stand-up wheeze?
On this particular occasion, he was doing a sit-down wheeze. I don't know where we were all in the bathroom together, but everyone was there.
I love it at the moment that we all have to be together. Like if I'm in the bath, everybody comes in the bathroom with me now. Chris will stand at the door holding Renly. Colby tends to be taking a poo, and Doxy just sort of lingers around, splashing the water on herself. And I'm like, I come into the bath for 10 minutes on my own, but yet everyone is now here. So we do that on every occasion, whether kitchen, our bedroom, the bathroom.
Oh.
We're all congregated together, but oh my God, God bless his heart.
That is gold. The spreading of the arse cheeks are just the icing on the cake.
Look, where is your willy? Mine, I'd have a fucking nightmare now if they spread my bum cheeks.
Imagine he found one up there. That'd be a shock.
You might think I've got a willy and wonder why it's so small. No, that's just my baggy skin in my bum hole.
That's just my piles. Don't be concerned. I've had 3 babies.
How's your bum hole? Nobody needs to know about my butthole. Oh. All right, let's go on to number 2,
all right,
which is a difficult one for Emma at the moment.
Hey, I'm absolutely fine. I've been on the lactulose. I'm flowing freely, my friend.
She's shitting great.
All right, this one says, hello, my loves. I have a 6-month-old daughter. However, my secret has to do with the time she was still in my tummy. My fiancé works long hours and itchy legs was not fun when my belly was the size of Mount Everest. So safe to say, we weren't getting it on. When I was 37 weeks pregnant, I got my wearable breast pumps in the mail when my fiancé was at work. I was so excited to try them just to see how they worked. Well, I fitted them in my bra and to my surprise, the suction sensation on my nipples... Oh God, was rather pleasant. Given this wild new sensation, I reached into my side table drawer and got out my vibrating dildo and went to town. I've never spoken about this story to another soul, but I'm happy to share it with y'all. So much love, Jen from Canada. Jen, get it. Get it, girl.
Funny thing was, is I was in the hospital with these electric pumps. And I was like, the fuck? I thought my nipples were going to be ripped off, and I was just sat in this room by myself. And I had to call the midwife in, and I was like, "Can you tell me, is this normal?" And she was like, she pulled my top up and kind of just stuck it on there, and was like moving it around. It's like, it's a really weird experience for me. Like I've just had a really traumatic birth, and. I don't know what's going on. It was like 4:20 in the morning and I was just like, I can't.
You were like, where's my dildo?
It wasn't a pleasant experience. But honestly, I thought my boobs were going to be fucking sucked into the machine. Fucking hell.
You need to get the one that Jen from Canada's got. It sounds like it does the business.
What brand is that, Jen?
Yeah, let us know.
If you just want to drop the brand. Drop the brand name, Jen. Not for the dildo. We don't. Well, maybe. I don't know. Sharon's caring.
Spill the tea, Jen, because we all need to know.
So thank you for sharing your secrets this week. Everyone is welcome in the Secret Mum Club.
Yeah, if you want to share your secrets with us, you can. The email is hello@secretmumpod.com or with Secret Mum Pod on TikTok and Instagram.
Has your willy gone missing?
Or are you enjoying breast pumps a little too much?
Let us know.
There really is nothing too outrageous.
And we'll see you next time on the
Secret Mum Club.